Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Welcome to the probably final Not a Thing podcast for 2013.
Oh, I'm glad you said for 2013. You gave me worried there for a second.
I almost said the wrong year. I almost said 2012.
You're living in the past, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit, especially because I don't have that that built-in thing where I would write, you know, checks. And so
have the wrong computer does that for me.
Yeah, I just don't write checks anymore. So it's even harder to flip over into the new year.
It's hard out there for a pimp. They don't take checks.
They probably haven't taken checks in a while. Or an ever.
I would guess ever.
Right. So as we look back on 2013, I think we're just deciding that we're not really doing the retrospective kind of episode.
Well, I mean, the year's not over yet. I think we should do our retrospective when the year has actually completed.
Oh, the fiscal year of
right. I still have like not 48 like 28 hours of madness until this year is over.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, there's still plenty of 2013 left. At least if you count the hours and beers like I do.
Yeah, I could squeak in another movie.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm actually probably taking at least the afternoon off tomorrow. Well, we can talk about what might be good to see later in the show. For right now, let's kick into a topic that is definitely weekly on the show, at least recently, and that's more fun news about the NSA. And apparently, someone from the NSA either leaked to the press, I assume so, or otherwise granted an interview where he said that the quality of the show is essentially, or the show, the quality of work is essentially worsened because they're not able to get through all of the data that they would normally because they've been collecting too much data. So all that junk that we've been hearing about where they're, you know, watching people in World of Warcraft and and otherwise tapping, you know, all the phone lines of everybody, it's just resulting in too much data and not any like actual stuff, which I think is if it is true, it kind of makes sense because just kind of collecting all sorts of data without a plan about how to deal with it seems to be like a mistake that could easily be made. But at the same time, it's like they're still collecting it, and you know, computers only get faster. So over time, that data will become more and more manageable. So
until then, they've basically turned us all into spam bots.
So I think trying to find a way to essentially hide in the noise is the way to go. So, in other words, kind of just keep mostly doing what you're doing, but you know, don't give them anything that would help.
Well, that's a well-practiced legal defense, right? You submit more documents than are actually pertinent, so right. They have to sift through all the data.
Well, it's the kind of thing where, my wife told this to me. So for LinkedIn, a lot of people are now feel like they should be, and I'm included. Like I feel like I should post on LinkedIn more than I do, because otherwise, the only things that I've posted on LinkedIn, that's the only things people know about. And so when people look me up on LinkedIn, all they'll see is like whatever stuff that I have posted, and that's like too small of a data set. It's like you don't want that to be the only thing about you. And so by posting some noise, even if it's like kind of only maybe a little bit relevant to you, at least it's something, and it's something to sort through, which I feel I conflicted about only because then it's like one more thing I have to, one more data stream I have to manage. I can only write so much haiku.
Don't cross the streams.
And I think the data that is out there can definitely be sorted through, at least in some degree. I mean, if it's there, someone will find a way to use it. And one interesting instance of that is another story that we found this week about if given enough resolution in a photo, so a high enough megapixel count photo, you can do all sorts of surprising things about it. And in this case, someone was able to just zoom in on the person's eye, so the subject's eye, and in their cornea, the reflection of the room is sharp enough that you can like pick out faces. I mean, maybe not programmatically like Facebook's like auto tag kind of thing, but it's the kind of thing where if you know the person, that person could probably identify people in that photo based on context. Like, I took this photo at a birthday party, and so I know the other people that have checked in at this party, and so now instead of being the set of all people, it's just the set of people that were at that birthday party, and so you could easily match that up. And the photo examples they have are pretty surprising. I mean, you can see, like they were saying, you can't see probably enough detail to recognize someone, but they did have kind of a pixelated version or a pixelated image of Barack Obama. And it's like, yeah, clearly that's him. So it's the kind of thing where it's definitely possible. And so, you know, having data out there, I mean, and that's something, how would you even control for that, right? It's like, it's one thing to not be in a picture, but then now I have to not be directly opposite somebody taking a picture. So
it's, so all those enhanced jokes are actually not jokes. Is that what you're telling me?
Right, track left, 45 degrees.
If you've got enough pixels, it'll work.
Yeah. So they did caveat it with the camera they were using. I believe it was that that Nokia Lumia one, that like the Microsoft Windows Phone that has like 40 megapixels or something obscene like that.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of megapixels. I don't even know how big one of those photos is. But at the same time, it's the kind of thing where, you know, it's not like they're, you know, reducing the number of megapixels that they're cramming into cameras now. So it's a matter of time.
Well, that's going to be good for advertising for those companies. They're like, oh, if you get kidnapped, you can identify your attacker.
It does look like one of those things that they would do in a movie. Like, oh, this is the way we find him. We find the kidnapper or whatever, right?
Selfie to save your life.
Another kind of thing like that I read was there was an article that was posted for I don't know if it was for DEF CON or one of the big hacker conferences, but it was something like that. And the paper was that a computer can or essentially makes noises, and they make a pattern of noise just based on CPU usage and stuff like that. And supposedly, if you listen to the noise that a computer makes over a long enough period of time and kind of sample it. And if you can tell when it's doing cryptographic things, you can actually derive the cryptographic key from the noise that a computer makes. Which is kind of crazy.
Dang. I feel like we talked about that on an episode.
We might have.
That may have just been a conversation. It's hard to tell these days.
Well, it's the kind of thing where it sounds like the kind of Deus Ex Machina thing they do in a movie to move it along or whatever. But they're not that far away, really. I mean, you know, the whole big data thing, I think, is definitely real, and that can be used for stuff, whether it's in that dramatic of a fashion or not. But there's still lots of ways that can be used. So, you know, be mindful of your data when you can. There's a lot of kind of data floating out there that you can't really do stuff with, but you know, the stuff that you can control, you know, just be aware of it, you know. But being aware of data is something that apparently the band Iron Maiden put to good use recently. The article was I had heard about it a couple days ago, and the kind of details of the article changed a little bit. So originally, the report was supposedly that Iron Maiden looked at all of the kind of BitTorrent and other downloading usage of their music, and kind of independent of album sales. And they figured out that Latin America, which apparently had kind of lower album sales on the whole, did have very high kind of BitTorrent usage, especially in Brazil. And so, you know, the article was saying, you know, that's how they planned their latest tour, and they did really well in Brazil when they toured out there. And it's they got it like half right. And so I think whoever wrote the article kind of messed up and said that it was they used the BitTorrent data to do it. And I think whoever wrote the article correlated the BitTorrent data to that. And so as anyone who's taken even like the most rudimentary stats course ever knows, that correlation is not causation. But it raises the point, you know, how hard would it be to just do that? I mean, and how useful would it be? And it'd probably be pretty useful. I mean, it's all just data about who likes your stuff and, you know, where it comes from and where it goes. And so I think they have to be careful that they're not getting erroneous data because people are using like VPNs or something.
Right. Well, HBO's pretty proud that Game of Thrones is the most pirated show on the internet.
Yeah.
So, you know, they use that to take into account, oh, we'll keep making this show.
Yeah.
In addition to the crazy good ratings it gets, but.
Well, it's just showing that, you know, I think media producers and distribution channels are starting to wake up more about how media is consumed. And it's not all, you know, Nielsen ratings or whatever. I mean, even I think Nielsen ratings this year changed to start including some amount of either, it wasn't DVR stuff. They're still really using DVR numbers, but they are using like iTunes numbers. So, you know, they're only like 6 years behind or something. But, yeah, I mean, you can easily make a case to anyone. Like if you're a band, I mean, that's just data. Where people are downloading, that's where fans are, and you should be able to use that. I mean, whether Iron Maiden actually did or not, it sounds like, you know, it's very kind of sound market research. I mean, I think that's especially important because, at least from what I understand, bands get a lot of their money from touring versus album sales, especially smaller bands, because, you know, all of the distribution middlemen aren't there. When they're selling, like, the album for sale or the sweatshirt or whatever, they're getting most of that money. And so supporting a band, you know, seeing them live.
Buy a t-shirt.
That's still a thing. Yeah. Right?
Definitely.
Although, I think this year I've definitely bought more... I've definitely bought more music electronically, strictly. Like, I couldn't get it any other way, so I bought it electronically. I'm slowly being okay with that.
I don't think I bought any physical media. I bought all digital. At least as far as music.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought, what did I buy? I bought the Anna Monoguchi album, the first one. It's funny because their newest one is on CD, but the Don Metropolis, the one that has Jet Black Blues, Sunset Hues, the Nerdist theme song, is electronic only. I think for a short period of time you could have bought it on vinyl, but never CD, whatever. And then I bought the a couple game soundtracks, actually, like the Faster Than Light soundtrack. I got that, and that was electronic.
See, I would play that game and play my own soundtrack over it.
It's a good game. The soundtrack is really good. If you're, I used it a lot whenever I was coding or writing anything, because it's all instrumental, and you know, it's as atmospheric as the game is, right? It's very, like, it's stuff is happening, but it's turn based, so you can hit pause and it's totally cool. It's just gonna stay at that level. But Faster Than Light, that might have been maybe my favorite game this year. Maybe not, but definitely one of the bigger time sinks.
We'll save that for our year in review show. We'll have a more accurate ranking.
Right, there's still...
We have to run the numbers.
26 more hours for me to get into... What do I have to play?
Have you played Amateur Surgeon 3?
What?
It's a game from Adult Swim.
Oh my god! Okay.
For iOS, and it's a surgeon game, but you have very crude implements with which to do the surgeries.
Oh, hilarious!
It's pretty funny.
Okay.
The main cutting implement is a pizza cutter.
Oh, so you're really good at that, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, what else has come out this year? Oh, I played a lot of Last of Us
on the PS.
Yes, and I just picked up Diablo 3 for console. I end up liking it more than I expected. It was great on you know, PC and Mac, but I just didn't want to stare at that small of a screen. And when I found out that it was on console, I mean, I was a little mad about it because like all of the balance changes they were doing in the game. They were clearly doing, like, to rebalance it for the console. So I feel like they were using the PC and Mac versions like an extended beta. But you know, it's still a good game. I've only really been playing for the last like 3 days, and I already have two characters above level 15.
So just a little bit then.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. but I've been definitely playing a lot more board games this year. Yeah, it'll, you know, let's save it. It'll be a good show for
yeah, not like this piece of crap we're rolling out there.
Well, you know, 2013, what you gonna do?
Wait for 2014.
Yeah. I like even number years, I think.
Or I like to think of it as we finished year one since the world ended in 2012 with the Mayan calendar. So right. This is, you know, Mayan plus one.
Right, right. It's the new Baktun plus one.
That's how we rang in the new Baktun last year. I think we should do the same this year.
Sounds good. So what other things have we found on the internet this week? So there was a quiz that the New York Times put out that I think it's 25 questions, and it's supposed to kind of diagnose what your kind of speech patterns and dialect comes from, and so where in the country are you from. So were you able to take that quiz?
I was.
Okay. So I took it this morning, and I answered, I think, pretty truthfully. There were a couple questions that were a little weird about, like, how to answer. Like, there seemed to be a couple different ways to answer.
Uh-huh.
But after all was said and done, it says that I am either from Modesto, Sacramento, or Oakland. So I guess I'm from the East Bay. I didn't expect it to be that specific about where it said you'd be from. But yeah. How did you do?
Mine was freakishly accurate. It said I was either from Reno, Stockton, or Santa Rosa. So it nailed it with Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
Apparently not everywhere calls them crawdads. That's what we call them.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know which one kind of pushed me into the like Modesto and Sacramento one. I feel like there were a couple kind of California-ish ones,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I was expecting. Like, you know, I say soda. I don't say pop. I don't say Coke.
Yeah, because you say it right.
But I don't know which one like is so specifically Modesto. What are those words? That's weird.
Yeah. I bet it's just the most number of questions that correlate. I don't know. Correlation is not causation, but still.
Exactly.
I think looking at the map, it's pretty accurate as far as region. Like I am a West Coast person. I do not speak like people in the South or the East Coast.
Yeah, and I think just guessing Northern California, that's pretty good.
Well, hitting a town that I've lived in for most of my life, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never... Yeah, I don't understand Oakland at all. I mean, I've only lived in San Francisco and San Jose, so it's...
Well, that's splitting the difference.
It's very close.
Oakland is like a cross between San Francisco and San Jose, so that makes perfect sense.
Well, we'll have to have Chris Collins on to debate the merits of how Oakland fits in that.
Of the ridiculous statement I just made, yes. I stand by it. From this back tune until the end of all back tunes.
So do you have any wild New Year's Eve plans?
Not yet. Like I said, we still got some hours to figure this stuff out.
Sure. Yeah, we have two mostly planned kind of things that we're going to drop in on, and that will probably work out. I feel like we've not done a like a formal like New Year's Eve at a thing like that you pay some exorbitant amount for and then go.
I wonder why. Because it's a ridiculous custom.
And I don't know if I would want to do it for more than like a few hours. I feel like there was a party that I was seeing that starts at like 7 and runs to midnight. And I've gone to parties that run from 7 to midnight, but they're at like people's houses and you know a lot of people and you kind of hang out. But I feel like going to the same bar for that amount of time, I don't think I'd want to do that.
Well, I've never found myself to be a real New Year's Eve person. Like, I'm not that excited about it. It's not a holiday I get up about.
Okay.
I celebrate the New Year in April. I stay up till midnight for the countdown, and yeah, I'm always running late. So if, hitting New Year's by April, that works for me.
Yeah, my I've always been more of a birthday person. I'm actually more of a birthday person than even a Christmas person, I think. But for New Year's Eve, I guess it was the Y2K thing that got me kind of more into New Year's Eve. Because when that was happening, I mean, I kind of knew that the world wasn't going to end.
You kind of knew. I was pretty confident.
Pretty reasonably confident about it. And so it just became kind of a big joke. And so what me and my friends did was we essentially drank every hour that we could to celebrate the new millennium going around the world. We didn't start like on time to get like everyone, and we didn't I don't know if we drank every hour. I think after like a few hours, it was getting like a little silly, so we may have taken a break and then and then put it back on when the East Coast was coming back online. 'Cause like when it's all those hours when it's just like the Atlantic Ocean, there's nothing you can do.
You can drink water.
Not salt water though. That would be
No,
bad.
you drink salt water. You take a shot of salt water.
Ooh. Well, as long as you have, fresh water too, it's
Yeah.
okay. Yeah, I don't think we're gonna like super blow out this year. It might just be well, we're not gonna watch like some I don't know, the whenever we always end up watching like a few minutes before and after midnight on whatever countdown thing is up, and it's always the same level of kind of weird and depressing.
Cheeseball cringeworthiness.
So I think we're gonna try and miss it this year. There was one year when I think Julie and I were playing like Unreal Tournament, like head-to-head death match or something. And we didn't even notice it was midnight. It was like we heard people counting down and we're like,
Nerds.
Yep, that's how you know it was meant to be.
Yeah, that's you just cemented two things. You guys are gonna last forever, and two, you're huge nerds. Your nerd cred is solid.
I will take
Totally worth it.
it.
It's a thing.
So not a thing is there was an article that we found about how not to design products for women. So specifically tech. It was kind of a funny article. And it was a little tongue-in-cheek about how to determine if it is or not. But it does show that they're kind of like stupidly segmented kinds of things. Like, I had no idea there were Bic pens supposedly marketed to women. and it was just like, you know, there are things that they will market to women, and they will do it in very specific ways. Like one thing I remember hearing about for, I think it was bikes. You shrink it and pink it is what you do. And I, you know, it's on some level, it's very, like insulting. And then to some degree, it's like, there are some people that resonate with. So it's, you know, that's the whole thing, is that if someone will buy it just based on that, then there is a market segment for it, and you might as well design for it so it actually kind of fits that market well. But at the same time, you don't have to, like, make just really stupid segmentation decisions about you know, creating and selling products. Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole article is really pointing out. I mean, I think there are things that that do make sense, and then like doing, depending on what you're doing to kind of tailor it, it's really hard because, you know, it's just like insulting to reinforce kind of gender stereotypes that way. I mean, the whole girls' toys, boys' toys thing, it always, you know, makes me mad whenever I see those kinds of things. I remember one of the funniest things that someone did was they took the theme song for, I think it was Legos, or they took the soundtrack from a boys' toys commercial, and then they put it over like a girls' toys video. And so they had this website where you could match up, mix and match, like the video from one commercial and the audio from another, and it was weird how well they would sync up. Because, like, I guess there are only, you know, so many ways to cut a commercial to fit in 30 seconds, right? And so there's kind of, you know, the setup, the tension, and then the payoff, and then the tagline for the item. And so they mixed up, I think it was like a jet planes or robots kind of Lego thing, and then the video was My Little Pony or something like that. And actually that's a bad example because the whole like brony thing, which I think is not a thing, but I don't want to look into it enough to know if it is or not. I just don't. Yeah. Anyway. That's for another show. The whatever it was eerie how well everything matched up. Like it was down to the scenes would change, like the camera angle would change, and the narration would like pause for it, even though it was in from a different commercial. And it's just, you know,
it's just, I think that has more to do with cut and paste marketing.
Right.
Boys and girls are just as dumb as each other. They'll fall for the same things.
Well, especially at, you know, that age.
Yes.
It's all filler for commercials, or filler for kind of cartoons and stuff. And that's all going away because commercials are going away.
Tell that to Hulu.
Yeah, that is like the only service that still has like the commercials that are locked in.
Even when you pay for their premium service, they still make you watch commercials. Not a thing.
Yeah, well, I guess they're trying to keep the commercial like voiceover and video production people in business.
Well, I mean, really, it comes down to they're trying to pay the advertisers who provide the revenue that allow them to make the shows.
Yeah. They still are. I think that's probably a selling point from Hulu's point of view. It's like, hey, you can still use your commercial laden like product stuff, and we'll here's the platform for it. Although that, you know, that's all going to change. It'll be really interesting to see how quickly that goes. Like when we're doing the next Back to an In review, will that have changed by then?
Maybe. They still have some time.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of pushing a light show out the door this week. We're hoping to, live it up real good in the next 28 hours or so. But we'll be back next week, next year, with all sorts of good stuff for the Not a Thing podcast.
Yeah, we'll have our 2013 in review show. We'll have some lists. Yeah. We'll check them twice. We'll eat some cookies and find out what was not a thing and what was nice.
Very nice.
Because you can't spell Santa without the NSA.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a good plan, Brendan. I will talk to you next year.
Until next year, Alan.